Today, I got a really good topic. We're going to talk about generational curses. A teaching in the Old Testament is that there are curses that pass down from generation to generation, and that you'll have to live out the curses of your father, your grandfather, your great-grandfather, and there's not much you're going to be able to do about it. That's going to be one of the most major influences in your life. People still teach generational curses, even though we know that Jesus broke them on the cross and destroyed their power. So, although I can't then teach on generational curses, although those who don't know Christ, I think, still come under the grasp of a lot that goes on from generation to generation. But as Christian, I want to talk about generational influences and generational beliefs. There's a story in the Bible that is really interesting. It's about a man named Gideon. And to kind of get the story in Judges chapter 6 and chapter 7, the Midianites would come and their camels, it said, would literally fill up the whole countryside. And they would wait until Israel got a crop in or got ahead a little bit. And they would just decimate them, destroy them year after year. And so God's people were hiding in caves. They were living in places that no one would find them. And even Gideon was hiding in a place where he could have a little bit of grain for his family. And an angel shows up one day, looks at him and says, "O mighty man of valor." Gideon looks at him and his answer is just pathetic. He says, "Me? I'm the lowest in my father's house. And my father's house is the lowest in the country." Now, you know you're lower than a snake's belly if that's going to be your response when the angel of the Lord comes, shows up, and is in the process of trying to bring you to greatness. His purpose in visiting Gideon was to make him one of the greatest leaders the Bible had ever written about. His purpose in coming to Gideon was to free an entire country, was to stand up against, I'm talking hordes of soldiers who would butcher their children and steal their wives and just destroy their way of life. And so it's interesting to watch, because when you read the Old Testament stories, you can't take them and everything they do as pure doctrine. You must take them through the cross. But when you take them through the cross, you can still get some very, in fact, more profound. Everything in the Old Testament is pointing to Jesus. Every book is pointing to the day and age that we live in. The fact that we can be born again, that we can literally have God's word in our lives, and that every one of us is called to greatness. In the Old Testament, like I shared a couple Sundays ago, maybe four different things per generation were called out: a king, a priest, a judge, a prophet. The rest just, we meander like sheep, just following a couple leaders. But today, because of Jesus, every one of you here is called to greatness. Now, it's interesting when you take a look at the story of Gideon, the journey that the angel advised him on. I'm going to just share one part of it. Many of you know the rest of it. The angel looks at Gideon and he says, "I want you to go and I want you to pull down the altars of Baal that your dad has. And I want you to cut down the trees of the Asherah." Now, his dad was an idol worshiper, which means their family was an idol worshiper. Baal, which is one of the deities that you can track all through the Old Testament, many nations worshipped him. When you deal with gods like Baal and Ashtoreth and Moloch, they were so sick that you would offer your oldest child as a child sacrifice. When we talk about bowing down to idols, we're not talking about little things. We're talking about this was a complete surrender of your family. I mean, you'd kill your own kids. I was in a country a couple of years ago speaking, and they were telling me about how it was still prevalent in their country that people would be told by the witch doctor that you had to sacrifice your kids, and people were still doing it. People, they go, how dense can they be? Well, the angel says to Gideon, you go, and your dad has an altar to Baal, which probably meant he was a priest of idols. So the groves of trees, which would try to mock up the tree of life, would often be a female entity idol that would be all about fertility and different things. And so he had two gods, two idols that he would worship. So the angel says to Gideon, you go tear down the altar to Baal. You take your dad's bull and you sacrifice him on a new altar built on the rubble of the old altar. Then he says, you cut down the forest of trees that is an altar to Ashtoreth. He says, and you build another altar. And you, on top of the wood from this goddess that his dad and family worshipped. And he says, and you put the stones like you know how to do. And you sacrifice another bull, another animal there to God. Now, as you look at the Old Testament and you realize that without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins, there's something very deep is going on here. Gideon's family was the lowest. Gideon was the lowest in his family. Who in the world has an identity like that? And it says that after he did that, after he went in there, built an altar, killed two animals, sacrificed them unto God, cut down, he took 10 men with him, 10 of his servants with him. And he didn't want to do it during the day, so he did it during the night. By the next morning, the men of that area got up and they noticed the altar to Baal had been ripped down. They noticed the entire grove of trees to the worship of Ashtoreth had been cut down, burnt. Someone had walked in there and just destroyed their gods. They were some ticked off. They talked around, and of course it's hard to keep gossip even back then out of anywhere. And they found out it was Gideon. So they went to his father and they said, you give us your son. We're going to kill your son. Kill your son. He destroyed our idols. And something happened in his dad. And he said, if Baal be God, let him look after himself. A change took place in his family. As you go through the story of Gideon, he rose up to be one of the greatest military leaders that Israel ever had. He took on not just one country, but countries. He would listen to God. He would wait for God's direction, for God's counsel, and then he would do what God had commanded him to do. And every one of us in this room, we come from families who've had idols. What is idolatry? Well, if Gideon's dad bowed down and worshiped Baal, if he bowed down to this goddess Ashtoreth, then he believed that they could help. So idolatry is a belief. It's a belief that something other than God is going to help you. And as I was just thinking a little bit late last night and this morning, I got up a little earlier, I thought, Lord, what do I want to talk about? This story just rang in my heart that if you want to do great things for God as a leader, as a husband, as a father, as a grandfather, you need to tear down the altars of your family tree. You say, well, Leon, come on. We don't have a big idol to Baal in my front room. We don't have a grove of trees named after a goddess that we look after and in worship of her. No, but if you've got a belief that is not godly, you're bowing down to that belief anyway. Maybe you were raised in a family that is filled with sickness and disease. I had a friend that just told me, I've had two friends that have told me that everybody in their family dies young. One guy told me his dad never made it past 40 and he wouldn't either. He died on his 40th birthday week, he died. I've talked to other guys who said in our family, we just take our own lives. My dad did, my brother did, my grandpa did. I guess I probably will. And you know what? Years later, I lost touch with him and he did. Something that sick and that evil, what's going on? There are other families that bow to poverty. They're just proud of their poverty. They just sneer at anybody with money. They just look at them and, who do you think you are? You think you're something special. Sometimes our nationality can create a problem. I brought a speaker in here, some of you will remember, who wrote a book on Quebec and why Quebec is the way it is. It was very insightful. It went right back to the war between France and England and how France abandoned the settlers that they had brought into Canada, and they felt like orphans, and how the English reigned over them in the cities of Quebec, how the government went, how the church, went to the government at that time and said, you know, if you'll keep us, give us some tax exemption, we'll keep mud of your hair. And you talk to many of the French people sitting here right now, and they'll tell you that all their life they've fought with this feeling that English are better than French, still today. When he spoke, I had two of our young men in our church tell me they teared up and cried as they heard and listened to the beliefs that have been passed down from grandfather to father, from father to son. Now, you say, well, Leon, I don't have anything like that. We're all prosperous and we're a man's man. Well, then how's your marriage? Does your family dispose of their marriages? Because men are going to be men, and if you don't look after your man, we'll just find someone else who will. I'm just giving you examples. I don't know. But God will reveal to you beliefs that hold you back. I have them, you have them. And until you begin to deal with the stuff that has come down your lineage that makes you small in an area of life, you'll live your life out. And although you don't have an idol carved that you bow down to, you have a belief that your heart has bowed down to. And that belief will control you. That belief will keep you where you are. It'll destroy your marriage. It'll limit your kids. It'll limit your grandkids until somebody gets up and destroys an altar, until somebody gets up and cuts down the bush trees to the goddess Ashtoreth, until someone gets up and decides to take on that belief. It'll still be there in your world and in your life. Maybe you feel small whenever you get around other men. Maybe there's something about something. Maybe it's the color of your skin. Maybe it's the language that you speak. Maybe it's what side of the tracks you were born on. But the enemy would love to have you bow down to a belief and have that belief limit you and that belief control you. The more I study the Old Testament, the more I am in awe of the cross. I don't know why so many churches today talk about Jesus and the cross as some kind of flippant thing. But at the cross, every one of us can die to our history. At the cross, we can give up our lineage, we can give up our idols, we can give up the family traditions, we can give up the family idols, we can give up the family beliefs, we can give up the family nuances that have come down and crept down through our family tree. And we can say, no, the old Leon is dead. The old Leon is gone. And I am born again. My father is God. In whatever areas that are fatherless in my life, God is the God to the fatherless. Say, well, Leon, do I need to go hunting around through my lineage and my family tree? No. No, you don't. I just wanted you to understand that every one of the Bible stories point to the cross. Every one of the Bible stories and things that are in the Old Testament, they point to Jesus. The entire Bible is about Jesus. Every generation since Adam has pointed to the generations that we live in since Jesus died on the cross, took the sin of the world, gave us a chance to be born again and to have a Father God. Right after Gideon did this job of tearing down the trees, pulling down the altars to Baal and worshiping God, little while there in Judges chapter 7, it says that the presence of God came upon Gideon and he became a different man. Isn't that interesting? We have other times in the Bible where the presence of God would come upon people and they became different people. When the presence of God came upon David, he acted like a king. No, he wasn't perfect, but men followed him everywhere. When the presence of God came on Samuel, not one word fell to the ground that man was to speak and to declare. Every one of you here is called to be great. It's called to break family curses. You did that by giving your life to Jesus Christ. When you gave your life to Christ, then there is no power for that family curse. But then there's another thing that the Bible says, and that is you got to renew your own mind. You got to make your own body a living sacrifice. There are things that are physical addictions that come down through families. There are things, thought things, heart beliefs, mind beliefs that come down and they're handed. And some people are even proud of them. One way of examining yourself is to ask yourself this question. What story do I tell myself when I fail? What story do I tell myself when I look at others doing things I wished I could have, but I won't even attempt it or try it? And you serve that story. And it's time to die to that story and to pick up the story of Jesus and to pick up the story of God's word and to say, no, the old Leon is dead and gone. The old family tree. You'd laugh if you took a look at my family tree. On my mom's side, they hung most of her great uncles as horse thieves. I could just go through all the crazy, sinful junk. And you kind of go, that's not who I am. You say, well, that's in your family tree. It's in your bloodline. You bet it is without Jesus. It's one hell of a mess. And stuff does come through. You ought to hear some people talk about cellular memories that go generational and all the stuff they talk about. And they're discovering new things all the time. But the one thing that I bank my life on is that I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And the old Leon is dead. And I reckon myself dead unto Christ and alive unto Christ. Or dead to the old man and alive unto Christ. And the more after I am born again that I go in to study the Word of God, I'm not studying the Word of God to try to become anything. I'm studying the Word of God to find out who I am. And that's a whole different thing. The world is continually looking for their identity. You know, someone asked me, well, what do you do? I said, I don't know. I'm a Heinz 57. I don't know how many nationalities are in me. I'm Métis, and I got this nationality and that nationality and this nationality. And whoo, so where's my identity? I'm Havinian first. I don't even consider myself Canadian first. I am Havinian. I'm a citizen of heaven. And there are men in other countries that I am more brother to than fellow Canadians, because there's the kingdom of heaven and there's a kingdom of darkness. And I'm a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. There's a verse in Proverbs that says, Proverbs 21:30. And the story that I'm teaching from today is from Judges chapter 6. But it says in Proverbs 21:30, there is no wisdom or understanding or counsel that can prevail against the Lord. You ever know you read a verse and it just sounds so normal until you think about it a little bit? There is no wisdom, no understanding, no counsel that stands against the Lord. When you give your life to Jesus Christ, God is responsible, you and Him together, for your future. He has a plan. He wants to do something great with you. He wants to continue to advance His kingdom. While the church world all sits around waiting for Jesus to blow a trumpet and rescue us from the world of woe, the rest of us are going to get up and go occupy and build and raise up leaders and command, mountains to move and declare countries following Christ. Like, this is the call of God upon the Church of Jesus Christ. We aren't men just doing our own thing, making our own money with our own skills. Whatever your skills, whatever your abilities are, yes, you can make an income and a career, but they're to be used for the kingdom of God. They are to advance the kingdom of God. And if we don't advance the teaching, the kingdom, the gospel of Jesus Christ, then you get what you've got right now. Countries all over the world that are so weak, some little fear can shut an entire world down, nation after nation, and they can prognosticate and prophesy all the things that are going to happen. None of them come true, but everybody bows to fear. And the people who scream the loudest get the most action. And you think, what is going on? What's going on is the Church of Jesus Christ hasn't done its job. It was to bring the gospel to a nation, the gospel to nations of the world, to tell them who they are in Christ so they could repent, give their lives to Jesus Christ. The most important building in this country is churches that are alive. It's the churches that we've built. It's the things that we do. And any other church that will stand up and be counted and declare, we are born again men and women of God. Our families are called to inherit the blessing. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. We're to teach our kids who they are in Christ and not who they are according to your lineage. You're to teach them to be proud of Jesus and not so much about your family name and your family tree. I have no problem with that. I think we should be. I'm just saying that's not number one. You seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So my kids, I want them to be proud of my family name. I don't want them to be in any way embarrassed of anything about who we are. But the number one is their Havinian. They are children of God. And no one's going to touch that identity if I can teach them who they are in Christ. So the counsel of God is for you. It says, anyone who's got wisdom against you, anyone that rises up against you in counsel, in wisdom, in understanding, nothing will prevail against you because you're a part of the family of God. So kick all the boundaries out. Just get rid of them. Stop looking at where you came from. You know, one of the things that psychologists will tell you is that you will probably only the kind of house you live in, the kind of area that you live in, the kind of impact you make in life could be a little bit bigger than your parents, your father, and the way you were raised, but not much. To have someone get up and just do something unbelievable and amazing and to get up and do it with greatness is so rare. And I want to challenge you that it's important that we as men kick aside to the curb the beliefs. I'm so proud of my dad. I'm so proud of my mom, my grandpa, my grandma. Love them to pieces. I come from a great family. But man, have I had to die to some of their beliefs. So I don't know which ones are yours, but I'm going to encourage you when you go to God's word, instead of just rolling your eyes and going, I guess I should read my Bible today. You live life like that, and you will walk out the limitations of your family tree. But you get into the word and discover who you are in Christ and what took place at the cross and allow beliefs that have sabotaged you in whatever areas for the Holy Spirit to come in and his word to be planted in your heart and choke out these other beliefs. And I'm telling you, my friend, something stunning takes place on the inside of you as easily and efficiently with the counsel of God and the wisdom of God, with the understanding that only God's presence can bring, you're going to change. In the Old Testament, there's a story where Saul, who was literally, became a demon-possessed king. But there was a time when the Bible talks about him being amongst prophets and he became another man and began to prophesy. Gideon, the Spirit of God came upon him. The Spirit of God has come upon you. Don't let the stupidity of religion keep you back so all you think about is just what you can't do. And recognize that Jesus Christ died on a cross, not just to make you happy and fat and sassy and all the pleasures you get to enjoy. It's a much deeper thing. It's called purpose. It's why you're on the planet. It's your identity. And if your identity and whatever it's in is going to determine what you do. Your identity needs to be in the Lord. In this room are brilliant brains, strategists, financiers, health, scientists, men and women who can rise up and change the family tree. Yeah, I'm not going to go into this, but I mean, it's kind of a shocking thing to see how many families have died out. Ever thought about that? Family names that are just gone. You go ahead and track your family tree through ancestry or any other thing, which a lot of people do, and you'll find a wing that just stops. And there's nothing after that. The final kids died out. Nothing happened there. That's not what I want. I want my kids and my grandkids and my great-grandkids to be successful, to know their God, to rise up and do great exploits. That, while everyone else is having rapture fever and we're in the end times, we're going to be here for a long time. Let's get up and occupy. Let's get up and develop a family tree. Let's get up and build a generation that each generation grows stronger and stands upon the shoulders of the next generation. And Jesus said, I will build my church. Not the buildings. We'll get any building we need, but I will build my church. It's the people. The fivefold ministry are first of all to build people, not buildings. Now, I'm not knocking buildings. I think we're going to have to go possess a lot more property and a lot more TV channels, a lot more signals, a lot more things than God's called us to. But this message today is very profound. And it was just a part of my devotions, and usually I want to prepare something. And I thought, I'm going to just talk about my devotions today. This is what I'm doing in my devotional life right now. I'm looking at myself and I'm living in a crazy season right now, and I haven't drank the Kool-Aid. I'm going to get up and go do great things. And God's going to surround me with a whole bunch of men and women. They're going to say, well, everybody else is sitting around freaking out, listening to whatever. We're going to get up and we're going to declare and know that our God is greater than anything, that his people have gone through much worse, that this is nothing compared to what's taken place on the planet back 6,000-7,000 years as God's people rose up and took out countries and went through wars and you name it. And here we are because our life's been so easy and so passive, and all the only thing you've ever had to work for is for your holidays and a new car and a new house and yeehaw, teach me prosperity. And all of a sudden we go, just a minute now, we're going to have to stand in our belief system against the onslaught of stupidity and fear and fear-mongering. Fear is a spirit. Fear is not a feeling. Fear is not an emotion. Fear can't be counseled. Fear can't be explained away. It's a spirit that's got to be dealt with the powerful word of God. So while everyone's running around and doing whatever, I'm going to challenge you. Get up and know your God. The people who know their God will be strong and they will do exploits, because it'll take the place of the family traditions. And I'm not knocking everything about your family. Like, a lot of you knew my dad. I'm so proud of him. A picture comes up of him, my chest would bust a button or two. But I recognize the things that he knew and the things that held me back, the things he didn't get into and the things God's called me to. So I first put my Father God on the throne of my heart beliefs. And I say, Holy Spirit, guide me into your word. And at this church, wherever you go from Sundays, get a notebook out. Listen to them over and over. You're going to find buried truths, like the truth I'm dealing with you right now, that the Spirit of God will speak to you through a message in one point. Or no points were made, but God speaks to you because the Word, as God's Word is being taught under the anointing, He will speak to you about you. He will give you a thought that if you'll pull on that thought and stay in there, it'll take you on a journey that'll set you free and raise you up, not just for you, but because your marriage, your kids, the families around us, they need us as men to stop believing a lie. So maybe I'm the only one, and maybe I'm preaching to myself, but I refuse to lay down and bow down to the idols of my forefathers. I refuse to lay down and bow down to the lies that are Canadian. I refuse to lay down and bow down to the lies that are Christian, that are religious, that are Winnipegian, or whatever you want to call it. I am going to rise up and continue to kick down the boundaries. And there is no counsel that's going to rise up that's going to stop me. There is no influence. There's no understanding. There's no human wisdom that's going to stop. Because me and God, we're a majority. Now, think that way and keep going. Whatever God's called you to do, He's called us to be together as a church. You're here because God's called you to this team of men. Let's continue to raise our kids. Let's continue to raise up our marriages, to get into God's word, to talk to the men around us. For some reason, Canadians and men, you put the two together, and you've got people who just, shucks, golly gee, you know, we're just, whatever. No, we need to speak up. When we see a brother that's going down, you need to walk right over and say, dude, let me talk to you. You're looking mighty low. You're looking lower than a snake's belly lately, and I just want to, talk to me. What's going on? Have a chat with somebody. Speak up. Encourage one another. Get involved with one another. There is no hero without a crisis, and you don't walk on the water till you get out of the boat. So let's just live our lives a little bit out of the ordinary. Let's live our lives to encourage one another. Let's live our lives to just take on any lies, any misbeliefs. And again, as you get into God's word will begin to separate the beliefs that are wrong. Those are the weeds, the tares that are in your heart. You say, well, I don't have any. You a fool. The rest of your life till you get to heaven, and you're going to be dealing with beliefs that have been put in there. I had beliefs as a single, then I got married and I found I had married beliefs about marriage. Then I found kids and I found I got beliefs about my kids and about family. Then I started dealing with financial stuff. I got beliefs about finances. And then you start having a sex life and you realize you got beliefs about sex. And then you start getting tempted and you got beliefs about that. You are always going to be walking into freedom by taking God's word, renewing your mind, and changing the beliefs of your heart. Most of them have been handed to you by your past. Father, I pray today that this will give us a thought to rise up, that I know there are men here today that, Father, they like being encouraged. They enjoy being said, come on, let's go. But Father, I just pray that something today will take root in their heart. And reading the Bible and getting together will have such deep purpose inside of them as they realize there's a calling on their life. That Father, there's something powerful on the inside of them, and they've barely scratched the surface. Bless them this week. Bless them today. Bless us as a church. Help us to rise up, Father, and be mighty men for our Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Hey, God bless you guys. Have a great day, and hang out if you like a little bit.